Data breaches, cyber attacks. You hear about it every day, right? It's almost enough to make you want to check your phone in the river and, I don't know, you live in a cave, haha. But before you go full hermit mode on us, let's take a deep dive into incident response. That's what the experts call it, how they handle these digital disasters. And wouldn't you know it, you sent us some really interesting stuff about this. Looks like a chapter ripped right out of a cybersecurity manual. Don't worry, we'll break it down for you.
You know, it's fascinating. Right off the bat, this source makes a really clear distinction between those everyday IT snags we've all hit. Mm. You know, the printer's jammed again, the software's crashed, and a real security incident. And that difference, that's crucial because it changes the whole game.
So it's like the difference between your smoke alarm going off while you're burning toast and, well, your whole house actually being on fire.
Exactly. One minute it's a minor inconvenience, the next you're dealing with a five-alarm situation. Slow internet, that's an event, sure. But hackers holding your entire customer database for ransom. Now that is a full-blown security incident, my friend, and it needs a fast, organized response. That's where the incident response team, the IRC, steps in.
So it's not enough just to have the latest antivirus software these days, huh? You need a whole team ready to go, specifically for this kind of thing, like a SWAT team, but for cyber threats.
You got it. This source makes it clear a dedicated team is essential. They're the ones with the plan, the expertise to come in and neutralize the threat. Now, speaking of the plan, let's unpack that a bit, shall we? The source lays out a very clear incident management process, step by step.
Okay, I'll admit it. This is where I get a little excited. Like, it's a recipe, but instead of flour and sugar, we're talking firewalls and encryption. So where do we start?
Well, every good recipe or incident response plan in this case needs the right starting ingredients. And in this case, that's detection.
Seems obvious enough. You got to know something's wrong before you can fix it, right? But I thought it was interesting how the source pointed out it's not always some fancy algorithm or system that catches it. Sometimes it's just a user, a person, who notices something's off, a weird email, a suspicious link, a file acting up.
Absolutely. It's that human element, often the first line of defense. Even with the most sophisticated security setup, you can't beat a trained eye seeing something's out of place. It's like in those movies, you know, when a character spots that one tiny detail that seems insignificant, but it ends up being the key to the whole mystery.
So let's say someone, they spot something fishy going on. What happens next?
That's when response kicks in. The incident response team, they're sometimes called the computer security incident response team, or CSIRT for short. They jump into action.
Hold on. Back up a sec. CSIRT, do we need like a whole glossary for this?
Haha. No need to get bogged down in the acronyms. The important thing is what they do. Think of them like a specialized fire crew arriving at the scene, you know. They're assessing the situation, figuring out how to contain it before it gets any worse. They're figuring out how big the problem is, how much damage is there, and what needs to be done to stop it from getting worse.
So they've sized up the situation, right? They've like sounded the alarm. What's the next play in this incident response playbook we're talking about?
Containment. The source calls this the mitigation phase, and it's all about stopping that problem, whatever it is, from spreading. Think of a spark in a dry forest. If you don't get it under control immediately, you're going to have a massive fire on your hands in no time.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Got to make that a priority. But how do you actually contain a cyber incident? It's not like you can just pour water on a computer virus, right?
No, it's definitely a bit more complicated than that. Containment could mean isolating the systems that are affected, maybe taking them offline, even shutting down entire parts of the network if it comes to that. And yeah, that can be disruptive for sure. But sometimes a little short-term pain, you know, it prevents a whole lot of pain later on.
I get it. It's like ripping out a small section of drywall to stop mold from spreading through your whole house.
Yeah.
Better to tackle it head on than let it fester and become this huge, expensive mess later.
Exactly. And speaking of bigger messes, this is where things get even more interesting. Remember those acronyms we were talking about before? Like PII and PCI, DSS?
Yeah, vaguely. It's something about sensitive information, right?
Right. PII, that's personally identifiable information. Things like social security numbers, addresses, credit card details, all that stuff you really don't want getting out there. And PCI DSS, that's the payment card industry data security standard. Basically, a whole set of rules about handling credit card information.
Okay. It's starting to come back to me now.
Yeah.
But how does all that tie back into incident response?
Well, the source makes it clear that If an incident involves this kind of information, if there's a breach of PII or you're in violation of PCI DSS, then there are some very specific reporting requirements. You can't just, sweep it under the rug and pretend it never happened.
So there's a whole legal and compliance angle to this, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about fixing the technical problem. You have to deal with the consequences, the potential fallout.
Precisely. And that brings us to our next crucial phase, reporting. This is where the incident response team, they document everything, what happened, how they contained it, the potential impact, any regulatory requirements that come into play. It's detailed work, pretty meticulous, but it's absolutely essential for transparency, accountability, and of course, avoiding those big fines or legal battles.
So it's like writing up the accident report after a car crash, making sure everything's documented.
That's a great analogy. You need that clear record of what went down, who was involved, what steps were taken.
Okay, so they've contained the damage, they've got the paperwork in order. Are we in the clear yet? Are we good?
Not so fast. This is where the really heavy lifting comes in, the recovery phase.
You make it sound kind of ominous. What's so tough about recovery?
Well, think of it like this. You've just put out a fire in your kitchen, right? Flames are gone, sure, but now you've got water damage, smoke damage, and a whole lot of cleaning up to do before you can even think about cooking again.
Okay, I see what you mean. You can't just snap your fingers and expect everything to magically be back to normal.
Exactly. Recovery is all about rebuilding those systems, restoring data from backups, and basically making sure everything is back up and running the way it should be. And you can imagine this can be incredibly complex, time-consuming, especially if there was a lot of damage in the first place.
And this is where those backups really come in handy. It's like having that spare key when you lock yourself out of your house.
Right. You got it. Having a good backup and recovery plan is absolutely critical. And this is something the source really emphasizes. You don't want to be scrambling to recover data after an incident. It's like trying to bake a cake and realizing you're missing half the ingredients. It's not going to be pretty.
So they put out the fire, cleaned up the mess, rebuilt what was lost. We're finally done, right? Time to clock out and go home.
Almost. But we're not quite finished yet. Before we can close the book on this incident, there's one more critical step. Remediation. Think of this as the detective work after a crime.
So it's not just fixing the damage, but figuring out how it happened in the first place.
You got it. This phase is all about root cause analysis, figuring out what that vulnerability was, that weakness that allowed this to happen in the first place. And then you fix it so it can't happen again.
So if this incident were like a break-in at your house, this would be like figuring out if the burglar picked the lock, if they smashed a window, or if they just walked in through an unlocked door.
Exactly. You need to know how they got in so you can reinforce your defenses and make sure it doesn't happen again.
Okay, so we found that vulnerability, that unlocked door in our cybersecurity.
Yeah.
Now what? What do we do with that information?
Well, that's where lessons learned comes in.
Yeah.
This phase is about taking everything we've learned, the good, the bad, the things that almost went wrong, and using it to actually improve our security going forward.
So like a debriefing after a big mission. Everyone sits down, talks about what happened.
Yeah, exactly. The incident response team, they get together and they go over everything. What worked? What didn't work so well? Did we have any miscommunications delays? Were there gaps in the process?
And I bet this is where all that detailed documentation they did in the reporting phase comes in handy. It's like watching game film after a football game. You can see which plays were successful, which ones weren't, and use that to make a better game plan for next time.
Exactly. And the really important thing here is to make it a habit, to constantly be improving every incident, no matter how small. It's a learning opportunity, a chance to make the organization stronger and more secure.
So incident response, it's not just about putting out the fires. It's about learning from them, making sure they don't happen again.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. One thing that I find really interesting about this source is how it emphasizes that this isn't a one-time thing, this incident response. It's a cycle.
Right. You don't just check it off the list and say, okay, that incident's handled. We're good. It's ongoing, right?
Yeah.
It's preparing, detecting, responding, recovering, and always improving, always evolving as new threats pop up.
Exactly. And that's a really important takeaway for everyone, even if they're not, tech people. Understanding that cyclical nature of incident response, I think it helps you approach security differently. You're being proactive, not just reactive.
It's like that old saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
You got it. And that's exactly why I think even just a little understanding of this whole incident response world, it's so powerful. It helps you ask the right questions, spot those vulnerabilities. You can even advocate for better security practices where you work with your family.
So for anyone listening who might be, I don't know, a little overwhelmed by all this talk about cyber threats and incident response plans and everything, what's the, like, the one big takeaway you want them to remember?
Honestly, knowledge is power. The more you know about how organizations prepare for and then deal with these security incidents, the better prepared you'll be to navigate this whole crazy world of cybersecurity. Because it is a crazy world out there.
I love that. Knowledge is power. It's about being in control, being informed, not letting fear win.
Right.
Especially when there's so much uncertainty.
Absolutely. And remember, there's help out there. You know, don't be afraid to ask questions, find an expert you trust, and never, ever underestimate a good cybersecurity handbook.
Couldn't agree more. This has been a fascinating deep dive. We've gone through the what, the why, and the how of incident response. And hopefully we've given you some practical things to think about, you know, for your own digital life. Until next time, stay curious, stay safe, and remember, in the cybersecurity world, the best defense is a good offense. Or is it the other way around? Just kidding. Stay prepared, folks.